This is The Good Fight with Barbara McGuigan on EWTN Radio. It's all about saints, past, present, and future. You can be a saint too. Listen and learn. Now, here's your host, Barbara McGuigan.
A good day to you and to each of our esteemed listeners. Welcome to The Good Fight. Barbara McGuigan here, absolutely overjoyed by the incredible book I've been reading this week in preparation for our Good Fight today. You know, we will be blessed for the next 2 hours by the seven last words of Christ, spoken in his final hours from the cross, as you know, with Venerable Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen as our guide. My brothers and sisters, it doesn't get any better than this. Few books are such an inspiring call to sanctity, and few books are such a spiritual powerhouse. You always hear me say, you know, I'll talk about that powerhouse saints. Well, this is a powerhouse book. And so this special new release by Sophia Institute Press, for the first time ever, contains Archbishop Sheen's complete writings and reflections on Christ's last words, and has been compiled by our future saint today, Alan Smith, into one complete, amazing book. It's called The Cries of Jesus from the Cross, a Fulton Sheen anthology, and it was, as I said, masterfully compiled by Alan Smith. So today, for those of us who know and love Archbishop Sheen, you will certainly be inspired, I promise you that, even more by this venerable on the road to sanctity. And for those listeners today who've never met Archbishop Sheen, you must get to know him. He never disappoints. So for you, to set the stage, I'd like to share a few words about our venerable Fulton Sheen. He was born in El Paso, Illinois, in 1895. In high school, he won a 3-year university scholarship, but he turned it down to pursue a vocation to the priesthood. Praise God. He attended St. Viator College Seminary in Illinois and St. Paul Seminary in Minnesota. In 1919, he was ordained a priest for the Diocese of Peoria, Illinois. He earned a licentiate in sacred theology and a Bachelor of Canon Law at the Catholic University of America and a doctorate at the Catholic University of Louvain in Belgium. Sheen received numerous teaching offers, but declined them in obedience to his bishop and became an assistant pastor in a rural parish. Having thus tested his obedience, this is how it works sometimes, the bishop later permitted him to teach at the Catholic University of America and at St. Edmund's College in Ware, England, where he met G.K. Chesterton, whose weekly BBC radio broadcast inspired Sheen's later NBC broadcast, The Catholic Hour, from 1930 until 1952. Well, then, in 1952, Sheen began appearing, and you won't even believe this, on ABC in his own series called Life is Worth Living. Despite being given a time slot that forced him to compete with Milton Berle and Frank Sinatra, the dynamic Sheen enjoyed enormous success. And in 1954, he reached tens of millions of viewers, non-Catholics as well as Catholics. When asked by Pope Pius XII how many converts he had made, Sheen responded, this is so him. He said, Your Holiness, I have never counted them. I am always afraid if I did count them, I might think I made them instead of the Lord. End quote. Sheen gave annual Good Friday homilies at New York's St. Patrick's Cathedral, led numerous retreats for priests and religious, and preached at summer conferences in England. If you want people to stay as they are, he said, tell them what they want to hear. If you want to improve them, tell them what they should know. This he did, not only in his preaching, but also in the more than 90 books that he wrote. His Peace of Soul was sixth on the New York Times bestseller list. Sheen served as Auxiliary Bishop of New York from 1951 until 1966, and as Bishop of Rochester from 1966 to 69. His two great loves, oh, and if you read his books, you would know this already, were for the Blessed Mother and the Eucharist. He made a daily holy hour before the Blessed Sacrament, and I was told it was at midnight. I'm not sure, but I was told by a holy priest that he did it every midnight. He made a holy hour, from which he drew strength and inspiration to preach the gospel, and in the presence of which he prepared his homilies. He said, "I beg Christ every day to keep me strong physically and alert mentally in order to preach his gospel and to proclaim his cross and resurrection. I am so happy doing this," he said, "that I sometimes feel that when I come to the good Lord in heaven, I will take a few days rest and then ask him to allow me to come back again to this earth to do some more work." That's so him. The good Lord called Fulton Sheen home in 1979. His television broadcasts, now on tape, and his books continue his earthly work of winning souls for Christ. He doesn't even need to come back. His books are back. They've never left, actually. Sheen's cause for canonization was opened in 2002, and in 2012, Pope Benedict XVI declared him venerable. Venerable Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen, please pray for us. And now I have another great joy, and that is to introduce to you the man who actually had the inspiration and commitment to compile this anthology on the cries of Jesus from the cross. Alan Smith is a husband, father, grandfather, a man of trade, and a business owner. He has served the church for 15 years as a Catholic evangelist, radio host, writer, internet broadcaster, and retreat director. Al is a gifted speaker, giving presentations at seminaries, schools, parishes, and Catholic conferences. He's often featured on Catholic media such as EWTN Radio and TV, Radio Maria, The Catholic Channel, Relevant Radio, and Shalom TV. He is the founder and director of the Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen Mission Society of Canada, and has served on the board of directors of the Archbishop Fulton John Sheen Foundation in Peoria, Illinois, which promotes the cause of Fulton J. Sheen's canonization process. Al is the creator of the website Bishop Sheen Today, which features the life and works of the venerable Archbishop Sheen. He is the editor of the best-selling book that we will talk about today called The Cries of Jesus from the Cross, which is published by Sophia Institute Press. A warm welcome to you, to The Good Fight, Alan. God bless you.
Thank you, Barbara, for having me today. It's great to be here. It really is.
It's great to have you. And really, I must say, why did it take them so long to talk about canonizing him in 2002?
I don't know. I think when someone dies, I think we're spoiled with St. John Paul II, with Mother Teresa. I think they're crying for them to be saints immediately, and it's the world we're craving saints. Our world needs saints more than ever. We need modern day saints.
Yep,
it's so true. And back in 1979, when Archbishop Sheen died, the world was sad. It was mourning.
Yes.
But because he had a worldwide audience, it wasn't. It took a long time for word to come in from all over the world. This great love to say, "Please make him a saint." He wasn't just a local saint; he was someone that was respected all over the world. Mm-hmm. And God takes His time. He takes His time.
He does sometimes.
It's in His perfect timing. And there was a group in New York that, of course, always said we were going to do something. And, of course, in those years, they, I think working with the Sheen Foundation in Peoria, Illinois, one of the things that Father Andrew Apostoli said, God rest his soul. He's a great man, great man. And I had the privilege of working with him for a number of years. And he really said, we don't want to see Sheen's voice go silent. We don't want to see his books disappear. And there's this zeal amongst all those who work with the foundation to make sure that his voice isn't silent, that we see him on television, hear him on the radio, and read his books. And I think there was enough people.
Yeah.
Sorry,
Go ahead.
No, it's funny because we both are so moved by him. I mean, I know that you have this great love for him from your youth. And we all do. Everyone has a Sheen story. And I've traveled across the country. And everywhere I go, people tell me their stories of how Sheen touched their lives, visited with them, inspired them, prayed over them. He was a man. One of the best descriptions I ever heard of a priest, it was in by Father Brennan. And he said, a priest is someone who brings Jesus to the people, but then brings the people to Jesus. And I think that is so true of Archbishop Sheen. He brought Jesus to the people, and he helped you and me come closer to Jesus.
I was just a tiny girl, Ellen. I was little, but my mom, and at that time, I'm the oldest of 11. And I know you're the oldest of, 12 or something, right?
I'm third oldest of 12, yes.
Third oldest, okay. Well, my mom, we only had like 4 or 5 at that time, but she would make sure that all of us were occupied, either on the floor to watch him, Bishop Sheen, life is worth living, or, you know, go do something else so everyone's quiet. And I certainly didn't understand everything he was saying. I knew his guardian angel, he raised his blackboard and all that sort of thing. But when I started to get older and started reading his books, honestly, I want to congratulate you, first of all, on this incredibly wonderful book. And one thing I'll tell you that consistently amazed me, and I haven't been able to read the whole, 300 and something pages, but one thing that really amazed me was that every single sentence Archbishop Sheen wrote could absolutely be applied to our serious, sin-sick, worldly world today. Every single word. So when I picked up your book, The Cries of Jesus from the Cross, I said, this captures perfectly our own times as if he were writing for us today. What do you think?
Yeah. The writings of the saints are timeless.
Yes.
It's true. I mean, we read Saint Teresa of Avila and we think, she was hundreds of years ago, but she's spot on.
Sure, she is.
Even Augustine. I mean, how many years was that ago? Yeah. Spot on.
Even
spot
longer.
On. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it just makes sense that Sheen, which we believe is a saint, he's a saint, his writings are spot on. And, you know, the material I included in the anthology was from the 1930s and 40s. And it's like he's talking today. I have the privilege. I'm in the studio airing his broadcast, and I do an hour each week. And the phone lines light up each week I go in with people saying, oh, I saw him in 1976 at the auditorium. Is he coming back? Is he coming back into town? They think he's alive because his words are so current. He's speaking to us today.
That's
I have to say, sadly, he's been dead for 40 years. And it's hard to believe it's been that long. But and again, this is something we'll just share some more with our listeners in a few minutes.
Yes. When we get back, you're listening to The Good Fight on EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Barbara McGuigan. I'm here with Alan Smith. It's all about Archbishop Sheen today. The Cries of Jesus from the Cross. Beautiful, beautiful work. You will be blessed.
This is The Good Fight on EWTN Radio. For more information about The Good Fight, go to EWTN.com and click on Radio. Here again is Barbara McGuigan.
Welcome back to The Good Fight, and I am here with Alan Smith. He has put together, and you know what I'm going to ask him? Alan, how long has it taken for you to put together this anthology on the cries of Jesus from the cross?
I had the inspiration to do it back in 2014, but it
wow.
just sat and sat for a number of years. And I knew that there was a time for it to be released. And I spent time in Rochester researching all of his original texts, the original manuscripts, mm-hmm. to secure all that. Because I knew that Sheen was a great catechist, that
yes.
in the background, he had a lesson plan for us. And when you think about what he said the year he died in 1979, and it was his last Good Friday address, and he said, "This is the 58th consecutive year that I've spoken about our Lord's seven last words, his passion,
goodness,
his death and resurrection." 58 years. He had, of course, a 62-year relationship with the Lord and the Holy Hour, and kept that right from when he was a seminarian through. But to preach 58 consecutive years on the seven last words, there's a man who loves the Lord, his passion. Mm-hmm. And Archbishop Sheen would say, there was never a preacher like the dying Christ. There was never a congregation like that which gathered around the pulpit of the cross. And there was never a sermon like the seven last words.
Wow.
That in itself, he was saying, this is very important. I mean, all the things the Lord said, the Beatitudes, his healings, the miracles he performed, he asked us to remember one thing. And he said, "Remember my death. Remember my death." And of course, he said that on Holy Thursday when he instituted the Eucharist. But when we meditate on his seven last words, we meditate on the words of a dying man, his words of love to the world. And what Archbishop Sheen was always doing was pointing to the cross. He was truly preaching Christ and him crucified. And he really wanted to get our attention and to get us to meditate on our Lord's passion, not just during Holy Week, but through the year. And this is why he left these beautiful books behind with different topics, different themes, but always to present our Lord's seven last words.
Oh, and I'm telling you, I just was so blessed. I did, and this was a rough week. I must say, lots going on in the family. And I'm thinking, and God has me reading this book. This is precisely what I needed to read this week. So I'd like you, Alan, if you could just begin as our retreat master. You know, my brothers and sisters, what I did was I asked him if, in his kindness, he would share some of these words with us today, sort of like a mini retreat, because here it is. We've got Good Friday coming up next Friday, not this coming, but next Friday. And it's beautiful to think we could have a mini retreat based on the cries of Jesus from the cross. And he said, yes. So will you be our retreat master today? And
yeah.
I'll only interrupt you to ID the station, right, when the music comes on, or if I can't hold my words back, I'll jump in. But, would you do that for us?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I just gave a 3-day parish mission.
Right.
And I have, you know, three main talks I give, and they build upon each other. And the first talk I give is on the seven last words and the crucifix, introducing the drama of Calvary, and asking people, where's the crucifix in their lives? The second presentation I give is on the Blessed Mother at the foot of the cross. And again, Sheen's beautiful writings about Our Lady and how she had seven words that she spoke in Scripture. And so I spend a little time with the Blessed Mother and our Lord and really bring everyone into a closer relationship with Mary. And the third and final talk I give is a talk of how to live the cries of Jesus from the cross in your lives. And that's simply turning away from your sin, those seven deadly sins that plague many of our listeners. Mm-hmm. And then the remedy would be to practice the virtues and to imitate our Lord by living the Beatitudes. And so it's kind of a double remedy, practice virtue and live the Beatitudes. So we send them off with their notes to say, this is how you put it into practice. So three beautiful talks, and they build upon each other. But again, they go back saying, I love our Lord and what he did. He died on the cross for me, and he left me a homily, a sermon that I can meditate on every day. And of course, when we go to Mass, it is Calvary reenacted, our Lord's passion right there on the altar. And so, again, we need to continue to thank the good Lord for dying for us. And so I start off with the crucifix. And because Bishop Sheen, at the time, he really didn't hold back. He would ask people and say to them, where's the cross in your life? And not just the cross, but a crucifix. Because a crucifix is not like a statue of the Buddha. It's not like a picture of Niagara Falls. The crucifix involves you. He would say you can have the statue of a Buddha in your garden, and it's pleasant to look at. You may even rub the belly of the Buddha. But you put a crucifix on your desk for 3 days, and it changes you. It changes you. Archbishop Sheen would say, you know, where are the crucifixes in your lives? Do you have these reminders of God's great love for you? Do you ever hold the crucifix in your hand and gaze upon the Lord and thank him for dying for you? Barbara, I always think of those pictures of the saints. We see them on the walls, and they always are holding the crucifix, yes, looking at the crucifix tenderly with this sometimes great intensity of love to say, there's something there. I began the book with a beautiful quote from St. Thomas Aquinas, and he said, I've learned more from the crucifix than any book. And I'll repeat that again. I've learned more from the crucifix than any book. And we can learn a great deal from looking at the crucifix. And not only looking at the crucifix, but listening to what our Lord said from the cross. And so I want to introduce to our listeners these seven last words. Okay. Some people call them the seven statements, but we know them as the seven last words. Mm-hmm. And I always ask people to just ponder, when I say each one of the seven last words, to think, what does it mean to you? When I hear the first word that our Lord spoke from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Right away, I somehow think of my neighbor and how he does a lot of crazy things. And he rattles my cage sometimes, but yet he doesn't know what he's doing. He's never been catechized. I went and talked to him, and he says, I've never been to church. My parents never took me to church. I don't know. But it's these things where when you hear those words, they touch your heart. And I'll just quickly, I know because there'll be a break coming up shortly, and I wanted to introduce these. So they're simply, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then those beautiful words that he says to the good thief, this day you will be with me in paradise. I love this exchange between him and the Blessed Mother and St. John when he says, woman, behold thy son, and to the apostle he loved, behold thy mother. We are those apostles that love her, and we love him. And it's a beautiful time when that is when our Lord gave Mary to us as our mother. We became her children. I like to call Calvary the nursery. It's the nursery. That's when we became children of Mary.
Okay, beautiful.
Yeah. The fourth word our Lord speaks from the cross, my God, Why have thou forsaken me? And of course, briefly, the fifth word, I thirst. He also says, it is finished. And fathers, into thy hands I commend my spirit. We'll talk more after the break. But again, those beautiful words from our Lord on the cross.
Wonderful. You're listening to The Good Fight, my brothers and sisters. I'm here with Alan Smith. Stay with us.
This is The Good Fight on EWTN Radio. For more information about The Good Fight, go to EWTN.com and click on radio. Here again is Barbara McGuigan.
Welcome back to The Good Fight, and I am here with Alan Smith, who is giving us a beautiful respite, a beautiful mini retreat, especially in, we're coming up on the holiest of holy weeks. And I'm so grateful to God for you, Alan, and let's just continue on. You gave us all of the words, the seven words of Jesus from the cross, and I'll let you just continue.
All right. Thank you, Barbara. When I set up the book, I had the privilege of seeing all of Sheen's writings over the years. So he, of course, had 20 years on the Catholic Hour, and so I saw the radio transcripts for 20 years. Mm-hmm. I saw his television show transcripts from the 50s and the 60s. His many books, some people say 70, some people say 90. Let's just say there's many. And yeah. Of course, he had a 30-year run as a newspaper columnist from 1949 to 1979. He wrote a weekly column, and many people read that column. And so there's a lot of literature, a lot of there's a lot of everything out there. And of course, his audio recordings too, and his television show. So there was a lot for me to draw from. But what we all need is a catechesis, a formula. And when I compiled this, I took the seven, I like to say the seven best elements to a spiritual program that I could find. And that's where it was so easy. I was, you know, praying to Archbishop Sheen saying, I'm going to put this book together. In what order should I put them in? And he said, just put them in the order that I delivered them. And because he actually, in this brilliant mind that he had as a professor, he would have a lesson plan. He prepared these lesson plans for us because he knew we were going to have ups and downs. We were going to have victories and sorrows. Yeah. And when you look at his body of work, in 1933, he gave that beautiful Lenten series of reflections, but his Good Friday address was the seven last words, and it went into a book form, and it's included in the anthology, and hundreds of thousands of people have read that beautiful book. It takes about an hour. It's great. He breaks down the seven last words and expands. I want to say he's the master at Lectio Divina. Opens up the scriptures. You read his book, Life of Christ, and he's giving you an insight to the scriptures. It's just so beautiful. And when you look at this anthology, and you count the number of scripture passages in the pages, I counted 443.
Wow.
And so it's full of scripture where Sheen points to the Lord. He always points to the Lord. And that's what we need to do, is keep our eyes on Jesus. Now, with all this turmoil in the world, and we always seem to go to our priest and our counselors to ask for help, Sheen provides that. And he wrote one year about the Beatitudes, and so how this builds up. He began in 1933 with the seven last words. And then the following year, he wrote a treatise on the seven last words and the Our Father, where he took those words and then linked them to each section of the Our Father. And then the following year, he talked about the Mass for 7 weeks, and that turned into a beautiful book called Calvary in the Mass. Mm. And he took the advice of his teachers in university when he studied at Louvain. It was Cardinal Mercier. And he said, every year when you give a lecture, make sure you rip up your notes. So it's always fresh. It's always new. And that's what Sheen did. Every year was a little bit different, but he kept giving us what we needed. We needed to learn how to practice the Beatitudes. And so he gave reflections on the Beatitudes. We needed to understand what the seven deadly sins were. And so he linked it to the cross and provided the seven last words of our Lord as the remedy for the sin. He wanted to give us a catechesis on virtue. And so he gave seven reflections over Lent in 1940 on seven of the virtues and tied them in to the seven last words. He knew that we would resist the Lord, and there was this beautiful book he wrote in 1944 entitled The Seven Words to the Cross, where he talks about groups of people that resist the Lord. They were there at the foot of the cross, and they're still here in society today. People such as the humanist, the sinner, those who were very selfish. The term I love, the intelligentsia, the know-it-alls of today.
Awesome.
He warned, he sent a word to moderns, those who everything is in moderation. They never have any zeal for anything. Sheen would write, he'd say, the mediocre survive, yet the good get crucified and the bad get crucified. But if you stay mediocre, you stay under the radar. And he talked about the sensationalist and the thinkers. So he knew that there was going to be groups of people who would resist the church and resist our Lord. So he wrote about that, and he gave us a catechesis. And then he wrote a beautiful passage of meditations about the seven words of Mary, and he linked them into the seven words that our Lord said from the cross. And so it was these ideas of how, you know, me personally, I have my ups and downs in my spiritual life, and I'm going to fall into sin and look for some help. And so he provides me teachings on virtue and living the Beatitudes, understanding my neighbor when I read his works on the intelligentsia, the know-it-alls, the thinkers. I have a neighbor like that. I have a coworker like that. And it helps me to interact with these people. So Sheen was equipping us with a program, a catechesis of knowledge to help us get to heaven. He would say that heaven is built on a hill. We need to climb. We need to climb. And so he told us it wasn't going to be easy, but with God, all things are possible. And our Lord gives us these words of encouragement, these seven last words from the cross. And so that's why this book has turned into a retreat book. I wanted to have it so that people could spend time at home and have their own mini retreat.
Yeah.
They could say, you know, I want to meditate on the words I thirst. And they could look at it seven different ways. They could look at it as truly our Lord on the cross, and that he's thirsting for us. He's thirsting for a relationship. It's the shepherd looking for his sheep. So you could ponder that for hours, it seems. You could look at that word, I thirst, and look it through the lens of the Beatitudes, thinking of that beautiful words from Scripture, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after justice, for they shall have their fill. And you could spend time just with the Lord, just pondering that beatitude. You could think of the sorrow that comes into people's lives, the need of zeal, and how there seems to be so little zeal in the world today. How we're saddened that people are abandoning the faith. They don't even know what they believe in anymore. And yet you could just, in thanksgiving, thank the Lord that you have some zeal, that you want to fight the good fight, and spend some time pondering those words again. Sheen could, of course, help you with, maybe you have a sin of gluttony, and the words I thirst is a beautiful remedy for the sins of gluttony. And it's not just food or drink. It's, you know, it's our shows, it's our activities. We're addicted to sports sometimes. And, you know, again, who's your God? Who are you thirsting for? And yet, pray to the Lord to say, help me with these areas that I'm struggling with, especially gluttony for food and drink. And so he wants to encourage us, but again, through this retreat style, to keep giving us different themes, different areas that we can strengthen ourselves. He would provide us with, for example, the virtue of temperance if we're struggling with gluttony, and all these things. So you could spend a day of retreat just on the one word by reading the seven different meditations that Sheen provides. And these are all 15-minute meditations. They were his homilies from the Catholic Hour in the 30s and 40s. So I say to people, it doesn't take much time. You could just read one meditation in the morning and carry that with you all day. Or you could sit and spend a half day just reading a number of meditations and having your own mini retreat on just one of the seven last words that our Lord spoke. And so, again, it's this idea of you could read all seven books that are contained in the anthology, and you could read them one after another by reading, say, if you read the fourth meditation in each one of the chapters, you would read the book Victory Over Vice. And so, again, I tried to make it so it could be just something that you could use as a daily meditation book, or a retreat where you could just study one word, or you could develop a retreat based on themes. Say, for example, you could have a dual retreat of the seven deadly sins and proposing the seven virtues to combat those sins. So again, it's this idea that the Holy Spirit was truly inspiring me to just provide a catechesis for people, because Sheen had developed the catechesis and then said, as a good parish priest does, my parish is large and I'm going to give them great homilies and feed them week after week after week. I know, Barbara, you were mentioning that when you were younger, you would watch him on television. Mm-hmm. And I hear stories, these Sheen stories, from people that come up to me and they say, oh, yes, and we all watched him on television. And, Sister Mary Catherine asked us questions the next day. And, we had to tell them what Bishop Sheen said. And so all of these things, he was teaching a nation. He truly was. And my father, and this is the personal story, he is a convert from Bishop Sheen's catechesis. He served in the war, and he was in the Navy, and he loved radio. And after the war was over, he started to listen to Bishop Sheen on the radio. And my father was a Seventh-day Adventist, and he was interested in going into ministry. And yet he paid attention to Sheen's reflections on the radio. And it seemed that many times he had troubles with the scriptures. He would go to his elders and say, can you unpackage this? And sometimes they'd say, no, we don't have an answer on that scripture. But Sheen always did. He always had the answer to scripture questions, because he, of course, was a scripture scholar. And again, you read his writings, you know he keeps adding scripture references into all of his texts. But in the 50s, my dad started to watch him on television, and he continued to answer all those questions. And so my dad just said, you know what? This faith has all the answers. They have an opinion on everything. They love me. They really do care. And he got that from Sheen. He knew that Sheen would almost look with those eyes on televisions. They pierced your soul.
Yes.
And he's like, turn to the Lord. Turn to the Lord. And there were literally hundreds of thousands of souls that came to the church through his weekly encouragement to say, here's what we believe as Catholics. Here's what we stand for. And he corrected so many people. I remember, and you'll see this in one of the passages in the book, he talks about Mary and he defended her. And he said, you know, that Catholics do not adore Mary. We don't. We venerate her. Right. We love her. We honor her. And he corrected a whole world. And we think of that beautiful quote that is sometimes you'll see it on, you know, all the social media. There are not 100 people in America that truly hate the Catholic Church. There are millions who hate what they believe the Catholic Church to be. And so he corrected them. And he said, this is what we truly believe. And my dad loved that. And in 1957, he became a Catholic under the he was brought into the church by Cardinal McGuigan up in Canada.
Are you serious?
Yes. And
that's my husband's uncle. He's my husband's uncle. Yes.
This is God is such a show off. He really is a show off. And so that's just, again, one of many Sheen stories. And I hear these every day. I'm out in parishes giving talks about Sheen's life. They come up and I hear this time and time again. So, again, I just feel so blessed to be able to share with people these words of wisdom. And I put a warning actually in the introduction of the book to say that there's going to be times when you just have to pause.
Yeah.
And take time. And I know that you've experienced that, Barb, just reading this book, that you say, I would love to read it cover to cover, but I have to keep putting it down. It keeps talking to me. It keeps making me just go, oh, Lord, this is so great. And so there is a warning in the very beginning that this will be a book that you have to pause a great deal. But I thought, you know, again, get back onto topic here, and I didn't want to get sidetracked with too many personal stories. But again, this focus on the crucifix and the seven last words. And I was mentioning earlier that when you hear each one of these seven last words, they all mean something different to each one of your listeners. It's again, when I hear the words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I what does he mean? I've learned it to know that, you know, he was making reparation for the atheists, those who don't believe. But as Sheen would comment so many times, he'd say, most atheists still believe in God. They go to sleep with one eye open. They kind of half believe, but there's something deep in their soul that knows they're made for God. And he made this beautiful reparation for the intellectually proud, the socially proud. And he just knew that, again, he was at that darkest moment, that moment of abandonment, but he offered it up as reparation for the sins of pride. So when I hear, my God, why have forsaken me? I think of our Lord, this very, and darkness covered the earth. Sometimes I shudder when the lights go off, but to think of how it was dark. But again, and as you read Sheen, you realize it is that opening lines of the 21st Psalm. It's a victory cry, a confidence in victory. And the Lord is saying, it looks bleak now, but it will be better. There will be victory. The end is near. My victory is near. And again, Sheen unpackages that. He shows us that with his writings. But those beautiful words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Woman, behold thy son, and to the disciple he loved, behold thy mother. My God, why have thou forsaken me? I thirst, it is finished, and Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. We don't spend enough time throughout the year pondering these words. How often we hear homily after homily about the Beatitudes, and I think liturgically sometimes we come across these passages during Easter, but do we pull out our Bibles and say, no, I need to reread this sermon because it is this great sermon of love, the sermon of a dying man. As Sheen said earlier, and I quoted him, there was never a preacher like the dying Christ. And I think of the very first passage, and it's from the book, The Seven Last Words. And a lot of times this one passage just stops people in their tracks, but it sets the tone for these homilies. And he said, from the seven last words, he says, "It seems to be a fact of human psychology that when death approaches, the human heart speaks its words of love to those whom it holds closest and dearest." Our Lord was speaking those words to us because he loves us so dearly and we're close to his heart. And so again, do we see these as words of love? And Sheen points to us and says, you better listen to the Lord. You better listen to the Lord. And if you don't, the Blessed Mother will have something to say. And he always pointed to her and his love for Our Lady. And we'll spend some more time talking about Sheen's writings about Our Lady in the next segment when that approaches. But he truly loved the Blessed Mother so much. He kind of had no chance. And I say that because his mother, when he was just 2 days old, his mother put Sheen at the bottom of the statue of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Peoria. It's at St. Mary's Cathedral. She brought her newborn child, placed him at the foot of the statue of the Blessed Mother, and consecrated and gave him to Mary. And so he didn't have a chance. You know, mothers have this great ability. I know I asked my mother and I said, "Did you do anything to me when I was little?" And she says, "Yes, I dedicated you to the two holy hearts. I gave you over to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. I placed you into their care." And so parents can have a great effect, especially when their children are younger, to entrust them to saints, to the Blessed Mother. And Sheen's mother did this. She put him at the foot of Mary to say, "This is my boy. Please take care of him." And again, he followed through. When he was going through to prepare for his first Holy Communion, he made a consecration to the Blessed Mother. And of course, when he was consecrated a bishop, he took as his coat of arms this beautiful saying, "Da per matra me venere." And the translation is that I may come to Christ through the Mother, that I may go to Jesus through Mary. And I think he really lived that. He lived that Marian consecration and always kept saying to everyone, don't be afraid to love the Mother. Don't be afraid to love her. And you do no disservice to the Lord by going to his mother. He would speak about how if you visited a friend's house and that you ignored his mother, that would be very rude. That wouldn't be right of you. You have to acknowledge the mother. And, you know, we can't go through our lives loving the Lord without loving his mother. And Sheen would always bring that to our attention. Love your mother. And that when you knock on Christ's door, Our Lady, the Blessed Mother, answers the door. And it's the same in reversal. When you knock on the Blessed Mother's door, it is Jesus that opens the door and says, "Hello?" And you really think about it and you think, that is so true. Is that because they are so united, that Jesus and Mary are so united, their hearts are united, that if we go to Mary, our Lord is there. And if we go to the Lord, Our Lady is there. And I'll spend a little bit more time, of course, in our next segment that comes up, talking about Sheen's writings about the Blessed Mother. But before we go to the next break, I just wanted to, again, revisit that love of the crucifix. I tell the story. My day job, I'm a retreat director and a radio host, but for 30 years I've been a licensed pipe fitter, and I've been fixing pipes all over for many years, and I do things like stoves and dryers and barbecues. Mm-hmm. But every day I go into people's houses, before I leave their home, I have to make sure that their water heater is working, their furnace is up and running. And to my shock, when I'm in these furnace rooms, It is where I see sometimes the most beautiful Catholic art. I see gorgeous pictures of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. I see large, beautiful crucifixes. And I ask
in the furnace
people,
room?
In the furnace room, yes.
Which and is so in the basement, kind of? Isn't that normally in the basement?
It's always in the basement. And I asked them the question. I said, why is this not upstairs in your house? And they usually say, well, that's my mom's, and I can't throw it out. And I got to keep it. And I said, well, why don't you put it upstairs? It's so beautiful. You receive such a blessing. And they naturally say, well, what would the neighbors think? What would the neighbors think? And so people are ashamed. They are ashamed of what the neighbors would think because the cross convicts them. It convicts them that they had something to do with it. Their sin. Their sin put our Lord on the cross. It's tough. But it's the way it is. So sadly, the cross does convict you. And again, we'll talk about that some more after this break. But again, stories from the gas man. And
I love it. Thank you so much for being here. I just absolutely love it. My brothers and sisters, you're listening to The Good Fight on EWTN Radio. We're talking about the book called The Cries of Jesus from the Cross. I believe it should be on everyone's bedside table. Honestly, it is that wonderful. We'll come back for another hour, and I will be with Alan Smith and so will you for the next hour. Stay with us.
Welcome back to The Good Fight on EWTN Radio. Here again is Barbara McGuigan.
Welcome back to round two of The Good Fight. The fight is on, and we'll continue our interview with Alan Smith, who wrote an incredibly wonderful book. As a matter of fact, you can get this book on EWTNRC.com in our religious catalog department, The Cries of Jesus from the Cross, an anthology of Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen. There are things in here that I've read a lot of Archbishop Sheen, but there are things that I haven't seen before. And Alan, I believe that you said, tell me exactly what that was about, that there were, where he gives a word to the thinkers and to the sensationalists and the moderns and the intelligentsia. I love that one. A word to the selfish was so important. A word to the sinners and to the humanists. These are things that what you found that have not been actually in a book yet. How was that? How did that go?
Right. Yeah. So with Sheen's writings and working with the Sheen Foundation in Peoria, Illinois, we started to realize that a number of his books were never republished. And they were never republished because every year Bishop Sheen was putting out a new book, another new book.
Sure.
So even, you know, in the year of his death, he was working on his autobiography and he completed that. And then in 1980, that was published. But every year he would always release sometimes not just one, but two books. Mm-hmm. And so no one was really thinking about reprinting some of his old books. And so years went by and we started to realize, wow, there's a lot of beautiful books he's written that have never been republished. And when I started to look at the books that were on the theme of the cross and the seven last words, I found that three of his books have not been seen in 80 years.
Wow.
And that was the book, The Rainbow of Sorrows, from 1938. And that's where he talks about unjust suffering, pain, the suffering of the innocent. Mm-hmm. He talks about God and the soul, the need for zeal, this being a planned universe, and eternal freedom. And so it was one of those books where maybe just society wasn't looking for a book about suffering and why there's pain and why the innocent must suffer. And so it sat there unnoticed. But now the world's looking for, yeah, tell me why there's pain. Tell me why there's unjust suffering. I need to know. And Sheen shows us that the reason why this happens is because of the cross and how our Lord came and he did suffer unjustly. He made meaning to pain. He gave us something to unite ourselves to. I think of how when he talks about pain, he talks about the second word from the cross, this dynamic between the good thief and himself. The good thief was experiencing some pain, and it was that pain that gave him some fear, which led to faith. And our Lord redeemed pain. If he didn't want us to have pain, he wouldn't have gone through it. He made it holy. We think about our Lord came to work, and he sanctified work by working. He made it holy. And our Lord teaches us how to endure pain. That when we think of all the hospital beds, all the sick beds in the hospital, it's just like Calvary. Half of them are lined up on one side and the other half on the other. Some of them say, take me up. And other ones say, take me down. The good thief was asking to be taken up. He was asking to say, remember me. Take me with you, Lord. Help me. I believe in you. And yet the bad thief was saying, get me down so I can do some more stealing. If I had your power, I would get down from the cross and let's do this. But yet our Lord made pain. I just want to say, he made it acceptable for us. Now I understand. I remember having a surgery that was quite painful.
Oh.
But I went to the Lord. I thought about the Lord and the pain he endured. It gave me that strength to say, he endured even more pain than I have in this surgery, but yet it was something for me to hold on to. And so this book in 1938 called The Rainbow of Sorrow just sat there with nobody really interested in republishing it. And the same was true with the book he wrote in 1940 called The Seven Virtues. It just seemed that in society no one wanted a book on virtue, but now everybody's saying, oh, yeah, clean your room, be good. Mm-hmm. Practicing virtue is popular now. It's they're looking for a self-help of how to be better. Well, practice virtue and things will be better. They really will be.
Sure.
And this third book that hadn't been republished was what you mentioned. It's called The Seven Words to the Cross, and it's seven groups of people who resist our Lord. And they said, you know, if you be the Christ, come down. They would, you know, mock him. They would challenge him. And so those people that were at the foot of the cross at Calvary are here today. The intelligentsia are here today. The people who want something sensational, they say, you know, unless it's sensational, I'm not going to go to church. Unless there's, you know, a light show or something, I'm not going to believe. They're here today, and they were there at the foot of the cross. And so that work from 1944 was never republished. So I took the opportunity to just say, you know what? They're public domain books. They're books that are available to be republished, and went about putting them into this anthology. So it's really nice that people have written to me and said, I didn't know he wrote that, and I'm really being blessed by these words. So, again, I always find that saints pick us. And some people who talk about their journey with saints say, you know, they came into my life at the right time. I really feel that Archbishop Sheen picked me. He really did. He picked me. Yeah. And he said, I know that you're a pipe fitter. You're the gas man. But if our Lord used fishermen and tax collectors, I can use a pipe fitter to get my books back into circulation. And he helped me. I really felt his presence as I was editing and reviewing things. And again, it was so nice to just reawaken this love of Sheen's writings with so many people, but to re-release these lost works. And so, again, that's one of the bonuses of the books. Not only is it seven books in one, and I always try to appeal to the thrifty, those people who, instead of buying seven small books,
right.
they can get one book for under $20. It's great. But still, those lessons that are contained in those three books are needed today. Are really needed today. So I was glad to include that in the anthology. I wanted to, of course, never you know, you can never talk about the Blessed Mother enough. And I know our time is limited today, and this is, we could easily do three shows about this book. And I think I'm just scratching the surface a little bit. But again, I think it's important that what Sheen was trying to really say to us is, don't live your life without her. Don't live your life without the Blessed Mother. And those words from the cross, woman, behold your son, son, behold your mother. And it's this idea of, that's when we became children of Mary. It was the second Annunciation, Sheen writes, that Christ was her firstborn, but St. John was her second, born of the Spirit. Andrew was the third. Peter was the fourth, James the fifth, mm-hmm. and we, the millionth and millionth born, we truly became her children. Yeah. And I think Sheen, you know, what he did for me with the Blessed Mother is he really softened my heart, because sometimes as a Catholic, we can just go through the motions and pray our rosaries, not with great love, and, you know, maybe skip on our devotions a little bit. But Archbishop Sheen, he really made me understand that she suffered so much. You know, she was losing her son, and I had something to do with it. My sin put our Lord on the cross, and Mary was suffering at the foot of the cross because of my sin. And I started to feel a sense of sorrow. Archbishop Sheen was the first priest to kind of invoke in me a sense of guilt. And, you know, I think I was, I'm not saying I was crying and crying and crying, but he stirred my heart. He really brought me to that point where, again, the Blessed Mother, you know, suffers innocently. She didn't deserve this. She didn't deserve that her son would die on the cross. And yet we all had something to do with it, because our sin put our Lord on the cross. And so I've naturally, my heart grew in great love for her, because I realized she suffered. And our Lord, you know, when I think of the virtue of prudence, it was so prudent for our Lord to give us Mary. Who better to form us? People always say, I want to be a good Christian. And yet, when you look at what our Lord did, he chose to be formed by her. He came to this world through her, and of course was raised by her and Saint Joseph. And even at the age of 12, when he was in the temple, and he was, of course, our Blessed Mother had lost him for 3 days, and she found him in the temple, and she asked him, you know, what are you doing? We've missed you. You know, your father and I are, you know. And yet he responds to her and says, you know, did you not know I was to be about my father's business? He was of bar mitzvah age. He was ready. He could have easily stayed in the temple and mm-hmm. Started his, I don't want to say career in the temple, but been, of course, groomed and stayed there as a teacher and very wise. But he said, no, I want to go be formed some more with you. I want to be raised by you and St. Joseph. And he returned to Nazareth with them, where he grew in strength and wisdom and power under her supervision. She is the one that we need to go to if you want to become truly a follower of Christ and to know Christ. Who better to go but through Mary? And she mothered the infant church. She mothered the apostles. When our Lord ascended into heaven, she was there for them. I just think of St. John and how he, you know, was never martyred. He was the only apostle that didn't suffer the death of martyrdom. Yet, when he took her into his home, the blessings that he would have received, having her counsel, just having her with her, and with him. Sorry, it just, again, that's why when you read St. John's writings, you know, the Blessed Mother told him many, many things. Sure. And so the word of prudence, you know, our Lord was prudent in giving us Mary to form us. So all these things. And of course, there's those beautiful seven words of Mary that were our Lord. She, every time she heard the Lord speak from the, she was at the foot of the cross and she heard him speak, she thought of times that she spoke in sacred scripture. And we'll spend a little bit of time once this break is, we come to over the next break, because again, it'll take me a few minutes to unpackage that. But Sheen wanted to make it clear to us that Jesus and Mary are inseparable. Where she is, he is. And that we can do ourselves no harm by falling in love with the Blessed Mother. She is our mother. Padre Pio, a number of people came to him and said, we're giving a conference on Mary. We need a few words from you, Padre Pio, if you could help us. And all he could keep saying to them was, Mama, 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 she's your mother. You know, you don't have a devotion to her. You have a relationship with her. She's your mother. She truly is your mother. And this is what Sheen did so many times in his writings. He presented to us, to her, as gift. It was our Lord giving to her as a gift from the cross.
Beautiful, so beautiful. And I love how we had a word to the selfish that you put into this particular section. And then you have the beautiful poem, Lovely Lady Dressed in Blue. It just brought back so many memories. I love this book, The Cries of Jesus from the Cross. Stay with us, my brothers and sisters.
Welcome back to The Good Fight on EWTN Radio. Here again is Barbara McGuigan.
I am here today with Alan Smith. And he has put together, compiled, an amazing anthology. That's all I can say. I never really expected to be so blessed. I knew I would be blessed because it was Archbishop Sheen who he was compiling. But I had no idea what the impact that this book would make on me. Honest to Pete, I say that in all sincerity. It's called The Cries of Jesus from the Cross. They have it at EWTN, RC, EWTNRC.com. Or you can also go to SophiaInstitute.com. They published this wonderful book. And I imagine our Catholic bookstores, you must have this in every Catholic bookstore, Alan, right? Tell me that.
Oh, yes, yes. And we always say that every Catholic home should have a copy of this book.
Oh, gosh, yes, yes.
Yeah. We're actually, I know the first printing sold out quickly. The second printing sold out just as quick. The third printing, I was told, is almost done. And it's amazing to just keep checking in with Sophia Institute Press and ask them how it's going. And people want Archbishop Sheen. They want some truth. They're looking for the truth. And Archbishop Sheen speaks the truth. And he doesn't waste any words. He doesn't.
No.
And that's what I love. He doesn't sugarcoat anything. He doesn't. He just tells it like it is. He's like a good father that says, children, I got to tell you something. And he tells us. But he points to Christ. He always points to Christ. And I love that's how he does it. So, again, we'll share some more about this, the wit and wisdom of the Venerable Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen. I was sharing a little bit about this great gift that our Lord gave us in the Blessed Mother by giving us her at the foot of the cross and bringing her home into our lives. St. John brought the Blessed Mother into his home. We have to do the same thing. Can you imagine if we truly lived as if we took the Blessed Mother into our home and she joined us for meals, that she went to the children's baseball games. She was very much in our lives. And you know what would happen, of course, at TV time. We would just watch EWTN. We wouldn't watch anything else, right? But we wouldn't watch any inappropriate television if the Blessed Mother lived with us. And the same with our computer consumption. We would make sure that we would screen out all the bad and make sure only good things came into our computer screen. So if you really live as if the Blessed Mother was in your home, you would amend your life. You would truly not do anything that would be ashamed of. Every mother would always say that, you know, don't do anything that would make me ashamed of you, you know, be good. Right. And Sheen would say that, don't do anything that would bring you some shame, especially with your mother. It's you want to make her proud. You want to be able to come home every day and say, Mom, you'd be proud of me. I shared the gospel. I shared the love of Christ with the world. And that's what she wants us. She always points to Jesus. I love her last words in Scripture. She says, do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you. And thinking of the words of Mary, I think this is what Sheen does in the anthology. We included that one book entitled The Seven Words of Jesus and Mary. And when I was giving the retreat just a few days ago in a parish, they really commented how beautiful it was to see how Sheen matched these words perfectly. And so I'll give you that example quickly. He talks about our Lord's first words from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And when Our Lady heard that, those words at the foot of the cross, she looked up and she said, ah, I had something very similar. I too also said those words, know not. When the angel Gabriel appeared to her and told her that she would conceive the Messiah, she said, how could this be? Because I know not man. And yet our Lord is saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not. There is something very beautiful about ignorance. You know, it's ignorance that forgives. And our Blessed Mother is saying the same thing. I'm glad I know not. I know not sin. And she talks about how, again, we have to have this higher love, this love for the Lord. And sometimes we wish we could unlearn some things. Archbishop Sheen writes about the university of unlearning. And he talks about that being the confessional, in that we wish that we had never had our first drink of alcohol or stole our first dollar, or we had never met certain people. Yet this beautiful university of unlearning helps us to wipe the slate clean. It's easier for God to write on a blank canvas than on a canvas full of scribbles. And so there is something very beautiful about not knowing. And the Blessed Mother sets the tone by those words, know not. And our Lord, of course, saying, they know not what they do. And so you see this beautiful unity of the words of Mary and the words of Jesus. And he continues through the second word when our Lord says, this day you'll be with me in paradise. And our Blessed Mother was pondering those words, and she was thinking, she had similar words too, in that our Lord was saying, this day, and she was saying to the angel, be it done to me according to thy word. She willed it. She said yes. And our Lord was saying yes to the good thief. He's saying, yes, you will be with me in paradise. And she was saying yes to the angel. Be it done to me according to thy word. Sheen labels that the secret of sanctity, becoming little and saying yes, and how we have to just, again, turn away from our sin, acknowledge to the Lord that we need to become humble, and learn from Mary. Because I think of this great message that Sheen said so many times. We have to imitate the Blessed Mother, and we have to imitate her lowliness. That's what was so special about Mary. Her lowliness, her littleness. And that was the secret to her sanctity. Saint Therese, the little flower, talked about being little. And again, she imitated the Blessed Mother. And so again, this beautiful message of Sheen gives us of matching the words of our Lord from the cross to the words of Our Lady. We continue, he talks about the third word when he says, woman, behold thy son, behold thy mother. she thinks of that time back to when she visited her cousin Elizabeth, and there was that greeting. The scriptures don't say what those words were. We don't know if she said, "Hello, good cousin, I'm here." But there was a greeting that she gave her cousin. And of course, her cousin Elizabeth comes out and, is just ecstatic. And she just, of course, has that great triumphant cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." And of course, St. John leaping in her womb. But it's this fellowship of religion, of our Lord saying to the world, "Behold your mother." And then, of course, she saying, "I want everyone to behold the Lord. I want to be that person that brings Jesus to the world." And so, again, you look at this beautiful similarity in the language about beholding. And we think of Mary as that first tabernacle and how we behold the Lord. And for all those listeners who enjoy Eucharistic adoration, we just spend that time. Of course, that Our Lady brings us the Lord. And again, it's this idea of the fellowship of religion. We need to bring our Lord to the world and learn from Mary's example of how to do that. We continue with these seven last words. We think of the fourth word, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And Sheen reminds us of Mary's great victory cry herself. We talk about how that that cry of our Lord was the first passage from Psalm 21. It is a psalm of victory. It begins with defeat, but ends with victory. It it has a beautiful ending to it. And our Blessed Mother thought of her victory cry. And it was that beautiful victory cry of the Magnificat, of my soul magnifying the Lord. So again, it's these beautiful similarities of Jesus and Mary that our good friend Archbishop Sheen shares with us in this anthology.
And that was part of what I had never read before, Alan, all of those similarities, and I just was so blessed by it. You're listening to The Good Fight, my brothers and sisters, on EWTN.
This is The Good Fight on EWTN Radio. For more information about The Good Fight, go to EWTN.com and click on Radio. Here again is Barbara McGuigan.
Welcome back to The Good Fight, and here we are in our last segment of our 2 hours with each other today. It is just such a blessing to have Alan Smith with us. He put together the cries of Jesus from the cross. It would be a wonderful gift, especially for the upcoming Easter. And honestly, it has blessed me so much to have read this book. And Alan, I'm just going to be quiet and let you continue on.
All right. Thank you. The book, The Cries of Jesus from the Cross, I try to say to people, it's a book for 12 months of the year. It's something that you can read throughout the year. It's not a Lenten book. It's a book because we need to learn from the Lord. He said, "My yoke is easy, my burden light." And all of these meditations that are contained in this book are for us throughout the year. Those meditations on hope, those meditations on faith, those meditations of how to live the Beatitudes. These are all things that we need to practice every day of the year. And so this book is not just a Lenten book. It is a book to carry you through life. And I know people who have already read the book 3 and 4 times, and they just read one passage a day because it is really strengthening them. And they're getting to know the Lord and Our Lady and have a greater appreciation for the Church by reading Sheen every day. And so I thought I would spend this last segment on trying to apply the words of Jesus from the cross into our daily lives. It is that segment where we have to acknowledge our sin and how our Lord was the antidote for that sin, and he made reparation for that sin on the cross. And then he provides us a way of life to practice virtue and to live the Beatitudes. And so we'll go through quickly each one of the seven last words and talk about the sin, but then also talk about how to practice the virtue and live the Beatitude. And so we think of the first word, we think of those words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And naturally, we think of the sin of anger. It is a sin that so many people struggle with. And yet, again, our Lord provides the remedy. Those words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That is the antidote for anger, most definitely. And yet he says, okay, if you practice this virtue of fortitude, you will find that your anger will decrease. It truly will. Our Lord practiced fortitude. He went to the cross and he endured the cross to the very end. He didn't get down from the cross at 2 hours and 59 minutes. He stayed to the very end. And so he really practiced fortitude. And he leads by example that we have to have that, some people say intestinal fortitude. I like to say a spiritual fortitude to just endure, to keep fighting the good fight. It is this virtue that I think so few practice, but yet Sheen is providing it to us to say, this will truly help you with your anger. Practice fortitude. And again, practice makes perfect. And it's like a muscle. You have to exercise it. But Sheen, when he talks about the Beatitudes, what I love is it's something like I like to say, our Lord comes full circle. He began with the Beatitudes. It was his first sermon. The Sermon on the Mount was our Lord's first sermon. He came from the desert. He was tempted by the devil for 40 days. And then he preached the Beatitudes. But yet he fulfills the Beatitude by the words he says on the cross. And I think of those words, blessed are the meek, for they shall possess the land. Our Lord truly was meekness. And meekness is this, I say, the self-control. He had this great self-control. He got angry only when he had to, when it really counted. Of course, in the temple, he took his little cord and a scourge and cleared out the temple with all the vendors. Again, he was meek and humble of heart, but when he had to, of course, he stood for a principle and defended the right position, the correct position. And so we have to learn from that. Blessed are the meek, for they shall possess the land. And so the simple formula of recognizing your sin, the sin of anger, practicing the virtue of fortitude, and then living the beatitude of becoming meek will help people in their lives. The second word from the cross, so beautiful, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. We talk about the sin of envy. There was no envy in the good thief. There was a lot of envy in the bad thief in that he envied the power the Lord had. And he said, if I had the power you had, I would say, come down from the cross so that I could smite my enemies and continue to go and steal. But the good thief had no envy in him. He didn't envy the Lord's power. He saw him truly for what he was, the Savior. And of course, he just reached out and begged for mercy. And he was shown mercy. And so he had no envy from him. The good thief is that example for us to not envy our co-workers who make more money than us, or someone who got a promotion and we didn't. We need to learn from the good thief. Sheen recommends the virtue of hope for us to practice that virtue. And it's a hope in those things eternal. Let us hope in heaven. I know sometimes we hope in little things, but are we hoping in what really counts? That we would be with the Lord for all eternity. And that's what the good thief did. He hoped that he would be with the Lord in paradise. And he received that expectant hope. He was the escort of our Lord into heaven. And we are recommended to practice the virtue, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And we need to practice mercy to receive mercy. How can we expect God to forgive us if we don't forgive others? It's so true. We need to practice mercy to obtain mercy. We continue to, again, take the lesson plan from Archbishop Sheen when we meditate on the third word, woman, behold thy son, behold thy mother. And we deal with the sin of lust. We live in a very, you know, it's disturbing, but an age of carnality. And again, it is a scourge of society, it seems today, the sin of lust. But again, our Lord made reparation for the sin of lust and the sin of the flesh, and that he became unfleshed on the cross. You think about how his flesh was hanging, and again, he suffered a great beating, but yet he was making reparation for the sins of the flesh by becoming unfleshed. And so our Lord says, I can help you, and I can help you by recommending that you practice the virtue of prudence. Do what is right. Do what is right. And to live this beatitude, blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God. If we just cleaned up our heart and cleaned up our minds, we would see the Lord more clearly. And it is something that I don't think we practice enough. Do we try to clean up our hearts? Of course, confession is a great sacrament to help us with that. But to just, again, guard our thoughts, guard our eyes, and spend that time to say, how can I clean up my heart and my mind? Well, of course, the Lord leads by example. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God. We continue in this spiritual journey with the fourth word from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And here our Lord suffers in reparation for the sins of pride, intellectual pride, social pride, financial pride. He humbled himself. He was born into poverty. He said many times, the foxes have holes and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He came to tackle the sin of pride, and he made reparation on the cross with that very empty moment when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Archbishop Sheen recommends that we practice the virtue of faith. We need to have faith in God, faith in that the Lord will save. We don't, one of the greatest sins in the world today is that we think we're not sinners, that we have no sin. But we need to realize that we all are sinners and we need a Savior. And so we have to have faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Sheen recommends that we practice this beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit. And again, people always say, what does that mean? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The poor in spirit are those who are so detached from wealth, from social position, and from earthly knowledge, that at the moment the kingdom of God demands a sacrifice, they are prepared to surrender all. Are we ready to surrender all? We think of those words our Lord spoke from the cross, the fifth word, I thirst. And again, the sin of gluttony comes to mind. And yet our Lord was truly thirsty, and he was making reparation for the excesses in the world. He was physically thirsty, but again, he was also thirsty for us, a relationship. As I said earlier, the shepherd looking for his sheep. He was looking for his brothers and sisters. He was looking for us, and he thirsts for us. But again, he made reparation for the sin of gluttony. And Archbishop Sheen then asked us to practice the virtue of temperance, to have that self-control, to offer up some little sacrifices, say maybe one meal, going out with the friends, and using that money to help the poor, to practice temperance. I think it's something that we don't do enough. And we can, of course, receive so many graces and blessings by practicing this virtue. And then, of course, the beatitude. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after justice, for they shall have their fill. We need to, of course, hunger and thirst after what is right. And again, that is a beatitude that, as I said earlier, Sheen would say the mediocre survive. We've lost our zeal for the things of heaven, for the higher love, the higher loves of Jesus and Mary. And so we need to hunger and thirst after the kingdom. And we truly will have our fill. I want to cover everything as I can in this short segment. And I think of the sixth word from the cross, it is finished. And it combats the sin of sloth. Our Lord make reparation for the sin of sloth by completing his mission. He finished his task. The Lord finished the task that his Father gave him to come and save humanity. And so he gives in that bold statement, it is finished, it is consummated. And so Sheen invites us to practice the virtue of justice, to combat the sin of sloth, but especially spiritual sloth, our saying our prayers so quickly, and even our physical sloth of not doing as much as we could. But again, he wants us to practice the virtue of justice. And I think of that beautiful beatitude that Sheen speaks to of the sixth word when he says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Our Lord preached peace. He preached a message of peace. He said to his apostles, peace be with you. And we need to be those messengers of peace. And we will truly be called children of God to live that beatitude. The last word our Lord spoke from the cross when he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. We tackle the sin of greed, covetousness. Our Lord was making reparation in that he was saving the best to last. He'd given away his clothing to, of course, the executioners. He'd given away his mother and his best friend to each other. But he saved the best gift to last. He saved his will. He was giving his will to the Father. And he's inviting us to give our wills to God, to give him our will. And we pray, Lord, may my will and your will be united. The Lord leads by example. And Sheen invites us to practice the virtue of charity, to not be so attached to our things, to share what we have, to share our time, our talent, and our treasures. I don't think we do that enough in society today, where do we have that great spirit of charity. God has blessed us so much, and yet, again, do we lift a finger sometimes to help the poor? We need to do that, especially in this season of Lent, to practice the virtue of charity. And finally, that beautiful beatitude, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Many of us have losses and family losses, but yet our Lord is there to comfort us because he's saying, I came to save mankind. I came to redeem the world, and know that you will be comforted. Our Lord will wipe away all our tears. And so you can see in this segment here how there's this formula of turning away from our sin, practicing virtue, and living the Beatitudes. And so, Barbara, I want to, of course, give you an opportunity to have the last word and to share some things. But these are the type of retreats that I give, and Sheen makes it very easy for me. He gives me the material to share with people to help bring them closer to Jesus and to Mary and to love the church that he founded and, of course, left with us to feed us, to nourish us, to strengthen us. Thanks be to God.
And, you know, thank you so much. You know, you do such a wonderful job at this. I'm just so thankful for your yes. I really am, Alan. I just think you do a wonderful job, and I noticed that you know a very good friend of mine as well, Terry Barber.
Oh, yes.
Very devoted to Archbishop Fulton Sheen. He's a great guy.
Yeah, I actually, in the acknowledgement of the books, I acknowledged Terry Barber. I thanked him as one of my mentors, and Terry Barber attended the funeral of Archbishop Sheen. He took a red-eye flight in 1979 from California to New York City and wanted to just thank Archbishop Sheen for his Life is Worth Living series, the catechism classes that he left behind for us. He recorded them in 1965. And, of course, that 50-part series has touched the lives of so many people. And he went to thank him. And I've met Terry Barber a number of times. I've visited him in California. He's come to Canada. And I just love his zeal, his zeal to share Sheen with the world. And so, of course, I thanked him in the book because, again, he is one of many Sheen pioneers who used his own money, his own time, his own talent to share the recordings of Archbishop Sheen. So, again, I'm glad to call him friend, and I really am.
And, boy, I am too, I'll tell you. And, you know, a word to the intelligentsia. There's one part in here that I just love. How Sheen, as you said, he wasn't afraid. He spoke the truth. He was very straightforward. He wasn't, you know, trying to mouse around with anyone and give soft sell it or anything like that. He says, intelligentsia, you are the most difficult class in the world to bring to God, not because you are wise. For no one is wise unless he has discovered truth. Alan, isn't that what it's all about? Coming to the truth. Yeah. Can you comment on that a bit? I was so impressed with that.
Well, I mean, our Lord said he's the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
And again, I think I don't want to. Sometimes when I get started, you know, all of a sudden the music chimes in and we get cut off on that. But
We have a couple minutes.
Yeah, but I think not just so much to the intelligentsia, and I think because all of us have somebody who is a know-it-all. And I think that's the translation of when you hear the word intelligentsia. My mother, I asked her, I said, what does that mean? And she said, oh, that just means know-it-all. People who their minds are so full that they have no room for God. And that's what he was really trying to warn people.
Right.
Don't become like that. Don't, a box full of salt, you can't put pepper into it. If you fill it full of something, there's no room for anything else. And that's with the know-it-alls. They think they know everything, that they don't even entertain an opinion of a spiritual truth. And this is what Sheen warned them, is to say it's a very dangerous thing. And he said that their pride, their intellectual pride, if he could use it in military battle, he would make ships lined with it. He would this intellectual pride, it's that bad. And so, again, it's... we have to learn from our Blessed Mother to empty ourselves, and that's what happens. You have to say, empty me so you can fill me. And those people who claim to be know-it-alls, they have to sometimes be like the wise men who said, you know, we're wise, but not that wise to know that we need to learn some more. And, of course, they sought the Savior when they visited him in Bethlehem. We need to seek the Lord just like the wise men did and realize that we're not that smart. There's always room for more.
It's always room for more, but walk into the light. Isn't that what it's all about?
Yes.
I love how he also said in the 17th century, the intelligentsia believed that any religion that satisfied individual ideas of interpretation was acceptable. In the 18th century, the intelligentsia believed that any religion was acceptable on condition it agreed with rational principles of their own making. And in the 19th century, they believed any religion was good if it corresponded with their views on politics. If you ask me, this absolutely fits us like a glove right at the present moment.
So true, so true. And Sheen gives words of encouragement. He says, these intelligentsia are going to make fun of you. And
yes.
I love this passage he says. He says, to all the good on earth who have been mocked because of their faith in God, you are not without an example. The sneer you receive in the office because out of love for this Good Friday passion of your Savior, you abstain from meat on Friday. The turned up lips and the barbed laughter you suffer because you pray or because of your loyalty to the church. The ridicule of your fellow soldiers as you kneel at your cot in the barracks and pray. All these are but echoes of the taunts your Lord received on Calvary. But do not come down from your cross. Be glad and rejoice, for your reward is great in heaven. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. We have to be strong in the Lord. We have to realize that we need to be glad and rejoice, for our reward is great in heaven. For you, Barbara, for myself, and that hopefully we have to suffer, but in our suffering with him, we will reign with him. And so he was saying to us, your life is worth living, have courage, keep the faith, and know that you will find true happiness in God. Don't abandon the Lord. Don't abandon the Lord. Draw close to him, for his yoke is easy and his burden is light.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Okay, my brothers and sisters, the name of the book is called The Cries of Jesus from the Cross, an anthology, Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen. And you will be so blessed by this. I love all of the writings that he gives on virtue. It's just impeccable. It's something that you can really hang on to and spread the love. Spread the love with your children, of course, with your grandchildren, of course, but with all those whom God permits to cross your path in your lifetime. This is something that you will learn. You will learn. You will be prepared to minister to them, to evangelize them. There's really so much in this wonderful book. And, you know, Alan, I couldn't possibly thank you enough for being with us today. But I know that God can. Our gracious God can. And I have a 92-year-old mom, Alan, and she always says, why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't he?
You know, absolutely. So
I just want you to know that we will say special prayers for you in this holiest of weeks coming up. And we'll all take part in this and remember this. And if you want to get the podcast for This Good Fight, just go to EWTN.com/podcast. And you will be able to pick this up because it is such a blessing to have you on here, Alan. And how often do you do your shows on the radio?
Yeah, I actually do two radio shows each week. One on a secular station, FM 98.5 CKWR, and the other one is Radio Maria. And so I do Bishop Sheen program on those two stations. And I have a website simply titled bishopsheentoday.com. And it was easy to name because we need Bishop Sheen today. Yeah. And on that website, I have 100 of his YouTube videos, his books, his audio recordings. So just everything Fulton Sheen. And you can spend hours on that website, bishopsheentoday.com. So lots there. Lots there.
Oh, well, thanks a million. And a thousand thanks to my producer, Ryan Penny, and to each of you for listening to The Good Fight today. And until next week, let us continue to fight the good fight and to run the race until we run right into the arms of our Savior King, who reigns from his throne, the cross. Bye for now.